Okay, Boker Tov. We are starting the third parak this morning, and the third parak begins with the end and then continues with the beginning. An enigma, a Zen koan, I'll explain. The first mishnah in the third parak is the end of the sugya of Kiddush HaChodesh, and immediately after that begins the sugya of Mitzvah Shofar, which will take us to the specific halachot of Yom HaZikaron that we commonly call Rosh Hashanah. Ra'u Beit Din v'chol Yisrael. This is the Mishnah that we've already seen in the second parak as a reference. Ra'u Beit Din v'chol Yisrael nechkeru ha'edim v'lo yispiku l'mah mekudash ad shechashecha. In other words, the whole process took place, but the Beit Din did not make a declaration mekudash before nightfall. Harezim me'ubar. It is automatically now a full month. Now, what is the chidush? What is the point of saying this? We will see immediately in the Gemara. Ra'u Beit Din Bilvad. Let's say that the members of the Beit Din were the only people to see it. So you have 12 members or 15 members of the Beit Din. They saw the moon. Yamdu Shnayim Vayir B'Sneihem. Which is a little bit strange, because if they all saw it, why don't they just say, there it is, Mekudash? Why do they need two of their own members to stand up and go through the formal proceeding of giving them testimony, and then them asking them questions, and then finally be able to say the same thing that they could say anyway, because they all saw it? Mekudash, Mekudash. Now you've got a particular problem. Now, by the way, the previous problem and this one have nothing to do with end of the day, which was the first problem in the Mishnah. Just at any point during the day, if this happens, Ra'u Shlosha V'Hein Beit Din. Let's say you have three guys who saw it. So they therefore comprise a Beit Din, these three guys, right, who saw the moon, and they're the only guys who saw it. So now you no longer have the option of having two members of the Beit Din testify before the rest, because if you take those two members, there's going to be one guy left. So, which, by the way, you will see, one man cannot be the dayan for the lone dayan for din here for the Kiddush HaChodesh. So let's say you have three guys, and they're the only ones who saw it. Yamdu Ashnayim v'yoshiv v'chaverim etal yachid. So what you do is two of them will become witnesses, and they will get two of their colleagues to go and join the Beit Din. The members of the Beit Din didn't have to see the new moon. The Yomrum Kudash Kudash. What's the reason? Literally translated, an individual is not believed, but what it means here is that a Yachid cannot be the Dayan. Therefore, these two fellows cannot stand in front of their lone colleague and say, Ra'inu, and say what they saw, and the fellow will say, Mekudash Mekudash. Rather, they need a full minimal Beit Din of three, and therefore they get two colleagues who were not with them and did not see it. They testify, and now we've got a full Beit Din. By the way, it would work, of course, all three of them could testify in front of three other fellows. You don't have to have any members of the Beit Din who saw it, but there's no reason to get the third guy off. Okay. Thank you. The Gemara immediately is bothered by the wording of the first case. Lama le'mitna ra'u Beit Din v'chol Yisrael. Why do I have to give this scene that they saw it, and all Yisrael saw it, and everybody saw it? Why did I just say Nechkeru Ha'edim? If the Eidim were quizzed, but they didn't yet say Mekudash, and the before nightfall, then it becomes a Chodesh Me'ubar. It's Tarich. This we already had in the previous parak. Sakadai Tachamena. Whoever who Beit Din v'chol Yisrael is for Samalei v'lo li'abrua. I would have reason to think that if everybody saw it, the new moon was very visible, and had lots of witnesses coming, and I went through the whole procedure, and the Beit Din was aware of it. The only thing that didn't happen was the formal declaration of Mekudash. I might think that would be good enough, and then the month would now be that night would now be the first night, day number one. In other words, the 30th night would become day number one. Kamash Malan, that it is not the case that until there's a formal declaration of Mekudash, doesn't work. Now, by the way, when are they going to make that formal declaration of Kudash? The next day, because they can't make it at night, because Beit Din cannot operate at night. So they're going to make the declaration the next day of the Kudash, And so, so the next day, so we're operating now at the end of the 30th. And had Beit Din been able to send the Kudash in time, that day would have become the first. And the previous month is now Chaser. The fact they didn't means they're going to make the declaration the next day, and now the 31st day becomes the first, and the month was Malay.
Now, does that mean the month prior has
29 days.
Become Malay?
Uh-huh. Right, because they didn't say the words Mekudash by the end of the day
so that
of the 30th.
Become Malay. So at that Mimanashah, then the next month has to be Chaser?
Well, almost assuredly it will, and in some cases we may even manipulate it so, if we don't have witnesses because of the weather and all, and nonetheless we know based on the calculation that we're going to get too far off, we may manipulate witnesses. We've seen that before, right? At the end of the first parak. So you let mine mean. So what do I have to have the phrase Nachru Haidim in the first case? After all, I said, if the Beit Din and all of Israel saw it, nonetheless, it's not Mekudash unless the Beit Din declares it so before Shkia, before the end of the day. What do I have to add in Nachru Haidim? Now, Hachi Kamar, we have to read it more carefully. Inami Nachru Haidim v'lo yispiku amar Mekudash at Shechat Shecha. Meaning, two possible cases. One is that everybody saw it, and they didn't get to finish the formal process. Or, if not everybody saw it, but rather we had the Edim there, and we went through the whole procedure with the Edim. And we didn't send the Kudash. Harezim Mubar. Now, v'chema d'tana atcha chashicha harezim Mubar, lama l'mitne chakirat ha'edim klal. But why do I have to mention chakirat ha'edim? After all, the point of this Mishnah is to tell me, we thought, that even though everybody in the world saw it, it's not a chodesh mekudash, meaning a 29-day month, unless there's a declaration. Well, then, what does Chakirat Ha'idim add to the mix? So it's starich. Here, just one introduction. Beit Din does not sit at night. Beit Din, however, does finish at night. So if you have a din that gets started during the day, and it carries over to the nighttime, Beit Din can do the Gemar Din. What is Chirat Din? What is Sof Din? That's a discussion in Masechet Sanhedrin about whether it's the Chakirat Ha'idim. Whether that already comprises enough of the Tchilat Din or not. But in any case, we would have reason to think that because Nechkeru Ha'idin, the witnesses were already being interrogated during the day, perhaps, what's the Sokod HaTachamein, it's Tehavi Chakirat Ha'idin Ki Tchilat Din, U'mekudash U'kudash Ki Gmar Din, V'likad Shebalayla, Midi Rehavi Ha'dinei Mamonot. What's the rule of Dinei Mamonot? None. Dinei Mamonot Tanin Bayom U'gorin Balayla. So if you have two litigants about a loan, and they sit down, and this guy takes a shul, whatever it is, and then we just start checking with the witnesses, and then it becomes nightfall, we finish. So I would think that if I've already interrogated the witnesses during the day, therefore I will be able to continue and say Mekudash Mekudash at night, and therefore I will have declared that day, and I finished the deen, and the day before became number one. Kamash Malan, Nuba'im Achinami. Why isn't that the case? Amakraki Chok Yisrael, whom Mishpat Elohe Yaakov. We've seen this Pasuk ad infinitum in the Masachet, the reference to Rosh Chodesh being a Mishpat. Ema Tchave Chok, Bigmar Deen. When does it become a Chok? In other words, when does it become the ruling? Chok becomes from the word Chakika. When is it engraved? When is it a done deal? At Gemar Din. When's Gemar Din? Gemar Din is when they say Mekudash. V'kalkali l'rachmona mishpat. What does the text call it? Mishpat. And what's the din of mishpat? Ma mishpat bayom, afachanami bayom. In other words, the text dances around a little bit and ends up telling us that Kiddush HaChodesh is one event, and that is the declaration. And everything before that is not Tchilat Din. Everything before that is just necessary procedure you have to go through. And therefore, if you did all that necessary procedure and it became nightfall, you had a lock. Because you cannot do the mishpat at night. Okay, good. Mishpat v'yom, we learn, by the way, from v'ya b'yom hanchilot panav et asher yelo. The parsha of Yerusha. Ra'u Beit Din yamdu shnayim v'yidu ifneim. Second clause in the Mishnah. If a Beit Din saw it, so two of them should testify. Why did the Beit Din need testimony? They all saw it. Why can't they just say, we saw it, Mekudash. We know we saw it. We know we saw it. Mekudash. We're talking about a case where they saw it at night, and they can't sit at night, which means they're going to sit the next day to do the procedure. The next day they can't say, oh, there it is, because they're not looking at it when they say it. So therefore they have to go through the procedure they did, which means, if the Beit Din, according to this, if the Beit Din were to be sitting, or three men were to be sitting, who are Ra'ui the Beit Din, were to be sitting during the day and saw the new moon, they could say, ah, Mekudash, and they wouldn't need to go through the whole procedure of Edim. But since they saw it at night, and they can't sit right now and do the Kiddush HaChodesh, the next day they have to have two of them get up and give the testimony. Now the last clause is the one where only three of them saw it. Ra'ush lo shavein beitin yamdu shnayim v'yoshivim yoshivim v'chavareim eitol yachid. So Amai, what do we need this for? Achanami neima lo teshmi agdolom iriya. So why don't we say the same thing? If three men saw it, let them just say Mekudash. Now don't tell me this case is also at night. So that's the same as the earlier clause. Why repeat it? The point of this last clause is to tell you that one person cannot be a Beit Din for Kiddush HaChodesh. That's the purpose of the last clause. To tell you, if three men saw it, two of them get up and testify in front of the third is not enough. They have to get two other people to sit with that third, become a proper Beit Din of three, and then the two of them testify. The Salka Daita Chamene Hoeltan Dinei Mamonot Bishloshav Mayamum Chela Rabim Tan Afilu Biyachid. After all, we have the Mishnah in Sanhedrin. It says Dinei Mamonot are with three. But if you have an individual, the Mumchela Rabim, a universally recognized fair Dayan, and they all the parties agree to it, then he can judge alone, which means Dinei Mamonot are potentially possible with one Dayan. Hachanami Nikdashay Biyachidi, and we have every reason to think one person can be the Dayan here, because there's no litigants. Nobody's going to say unfair. Why can't we have one person be the Beit Din for Kiddush HaChodesh? Kamash Malat. That's why we need our last clause, to tell us that if only three people saw it, two of them separate out, testify before the third, but the third has to get two other fellows to join him, say, have a proper Beit Din. And one is not enough. Ve'im Hachinami, why isn't one good enough? Who was the best mumcha in history? Moshe Rabbeinu. The Kamal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Adi Ika Aron Bahadach. And the way that we're now reading the Pasuk is, unlike the way Rabbi Shimon read it, which is Moshe and Aron, the two of you can be the witnesses, and therefore the relational psulim can testify for Kiddush HaChodesh. Rather, we're reading now about Dayanim. Meaning, you and Aharon have to be on the Beit Din. Now, of course, that might not work. But the point is that you cannot do it alone. Now, parenthetically, that tells us another possibility, which is, let's see how this plays out. What you have in our case is the people who testified, one of them who saw the moon is acting as a Dayan in the case. Can you have somebody who saw the event be a Dayan in the case? That's the machloket of Ritarfon and Bekiva. Ritarfon says, let's say the Sanhedrin was present, they saw a murder take place. So some of them act as a Din, the rest of them act as Dayanim. That's what Ritarfon. Bekiva Rer Kulan Nasim Edim, all of them become witnesses. They ain't Eid Nasad Dayan. They cannot become Dayanim. Why? We'll see why. Afilu Temer Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva could agree in our case that the Eidim of the Chodesh can act, or at least one of them can act as a Dayan. Ad kam lakom Rabbi Akiva hatam ela b'dine nefashot. Where did Rabbi Akiva say ain't Eid Nasad Dayan? When all of a sudden Hedron witnessed a murder. They witnessed anything else that's going to lead to a capital punishment. Look at the pasuk on the page, pasuk number 3. This is the parsha of Yarmikwat. The Eidah judges, the Itzilu Ha'idah, and the Eidah will save. That's, by the way, how we know that there's at least 20 people on any capital court case. Right? Then we add in, we end up with 23.
Why?
Shaftu Ha'idah.
Two groups of 10.
Shaftu Ha'idah, that's 10. The Itzilu Ha'idah. Eidah Shofetet, Eidah Matzelet. Right, well, you need one to be balanced. Right, plus, right. Shaftu Haida, Vistilu Haida, Lechkeven the chazir the katal nafsha, since the Sanhedrin saw this guy murder, they will never be able to look at this with any openness towards the possibility that he's not guilty, because they saw it. And they're already going to have their minds made up. And therefore, they cannot be dayanim. Anybody who saw a crime cannot be a dayan in that case. Rabbi Kiva would not disagree here. He would say, sure, if you personally saw the moon, you could testify. And you could also be a dayan while your friends testify. Because what's the problem? Is the problem that, oh, I'm never going to be able to hear the possibility that there wasn't a moon? It's not that kind of case. We're just going through a formal procedure here. So even Rabbi Akiva could agree in this case that aid, somebody who saw the new moon, can act as a dayan. Okay, subject number two. And it's really subject number three in the Masachet. The first subject in the Masachet, if you recall, was the cycles of the year. And what particular points serve as the entry point into the cycle. I wouldn't say the beginning, but the entry point in the cycle. What's the entry point in the cycle for documents, for regalim, for different agricultural things, for ma'aseh behemah, etc.? The second topic of the Masachet is Kiddush HaChodesh, and everything associated with it. It starts out with the month for which the Shlichim go out to give testimony, and it went from there to the months for which we are Mechal El Shabbat to come and testify, and then some of the procedures of the Beit Din. The whole second parak was devoted to that, all five blot of it, three, four blot of it. And now we have finished with that. We're going on to the third subject, which has two parts. The third subject really is the Yom Tov of Yom HaZikaron. The first part of it is the Mitzvah of Shofar, and the fourth is the unique liturgy, or the second part of it is the unique liturgy of Rosh Hashanah, and there we go. So Kol HaShofar Kasherim, Chutz Shofarot Neshu Keren. Rabbanan say that all shofarot, meaning all horns of animals, are usable for the Mitzvah of Shofar, except for a steer. Why? Because it is a cow, because it is not called a shofar, it's called a keren. Different word. Amar Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Kol HaShofarot Kula Nikru Keren. Rabbi Yossi says, what are you talking about? Every shofar is called a keren. So the fact that this one's called a keren should not invalidate it. It should be valid. Shofar Shof, the keren Ayovel. Where do we see that? When the Bnei Yisrael were attacking the city of Yericho, Yoshua said to them, when you make the sound of the Keren HaYovel. Now, what's a Yovel? I told you this a while ago. A Yovel means a ram. So, the Keren HaYovel means the horn of the ram. And that's a shofar. And yet, it's called Keren. So, you see, the word Keren and the word shofar seem to be synonymous. And therefore, the fact that the horn of a par is called a Keren does not invalidate it. Good. So, we have Machloket Rabbi Yossi and Rabbanan whether you can use a cow's horn for shofar. Shofar kama Rabbi Yossi. So the first thing the Gemara points out is that Rabbi Yossi's got a good textual point. Rabbanan calls shofar v'iku keren. The Rabbanan's point is, you're right that all shofar are called keren, but they're also called shofar, as opposed to a para, which is never called shofar. Para keren ikri shofar lo ikri dichtiv. How do we know that? B'chor shoro hadar lo. This is a bracha di Yosef. And it talks about Yosef as being compared to a shore. The karnei ra'im karnav. He has the horns of a ra'im is another kind of a steer.
Or,
what?
Isn't ram?
No, ram is not a ram. Ayo is a ram. Ram is another kind of a steer. Anybody have, what do they say there in translation? Another kind of, the young calf, I think. But, yeah, it should be a young calf. Rabbi Yossi, Amar Lacha, the para nami ikri shofar. Rabbi Yossi says, para is no different. Para is not the only one that's only called a keren. Dichtiv etitav la'adonai mishor par. Now, look what he does with this pasuk in Tehillim. He says, you're greater to Hashem than a shor par. What's a shor par? Shor par is a cow. Im shor lama par, in par lama shor, elamai shor par mishofar. It's a play on words. He's saying, why does the text in Tehillim call a shor par, to tell you that its horn is also a shofar?
Par and shofar.
Yeah. Rabbanan, so what do the Rabbanan say about that pasuk? K'namatna b'yamavmatna, my shor par, shu gadol kepar, meaning a shor that's as big as a par, meaning the genus is cattle, and the size is huge, like a par. In other words, they're saying, you're greater to Hashem, this offering is greater to Hashem than a huge korban. greater than the hugest shore that you could have, the hugest par that you could have. Right? Good. So don't tell me that shore par becomes shofar. That's taking things a little bit too far. Ula Amar, Hainu Taina Durabanan, Krav Chista. He says, you know what? The Rabbanan's reason for invalidating the par is not because of the linguistics of Karen. It's a different reason, which is Rav Chista's reason. Why does the Kohen Gadol have to wear white clothes when he does the inner Avodah Yom Kippur? After all, from a very wide Midrashic perspective, the Tahara of Yom Kippurim and the Kaparat HaMikdash of Yom Kippurim is a kapara for Cheta Egel. And after, so therefore, he's not going to wear gold clothes when he comes in because he can't use the same thing that was the crime to try to expiate the crime. It was a golden cap, so therefore he has to wear white clothes. V'lo v'ika dam par, what are you talking about? He brings the dam ha-par all the way inside. And that's a par, same animal. So ha-lishtin yishtin, yeah, but it's blood. You know, you see the blood, you don't see a little cap. You see blood. Aron v'chapor d'chruv, but there's all the golden vessels in the mikdash, including inside. Aron, kapor d'chruv. So chote bal yakriv kamina. What Rav Chista meant was not that you can't have those symbols, but you can't not use them as part of your avodah, as bring as a korban or wear them. Vayikar kafu machta. Remember, when he comes into the inside, he brings in the spoon and the fire pan that are gold. So chote bal yitgaer kamina. We mean, he should not beautify himself. These are purely utilitarian, as opposed to the gold clothes. Right? And so the same thing with shofar is kind of a sound of glory. He's wearing the big day zahav for all of the external avodah. So mifnim come in. Yeah, we're talking about bringing it inside. Yeah, I know. You don't bring the shofar inside. So if Rav Chista's point was that you cannot bring nice things inside, like fancy clothes inside that are gold because it's too reminiscent of the reason you're here, then the shofar's outside. Why can't you have a shofar that's from a calf? The answer is, Kevin Zikaronu Kibifinin Dami. This, by the way, the Darshanim have a lot of use for this drasha, for this point, which is that because the shofar is used for Zikaron Hashem, it's like on the inside. Alright. Wait a second. That's a very nice explanation, but that's not what it says. It says that the reason the Rabbanan invalidates the par is because it's called a carrot. And you're telling me a whole other position, which sounds nice, but isn't what they said. The answer is chadava od kama. Truth is that both arguments are in the Rabbanan's camp. Right? Chada den kategon asesanega. First of all, you can't use the shofar of a par because, after all, you're trying to remember Hashem and have Him forgive you, and you don't want to use the symbol of the greatest sin in our history. Beyond Neshu Karen, also the linguistic issue. So what's Rabbi Yossi going to answer? Now Rabbi Yossi is going to have to give two defenses, one against each side. What's he going to say about that? Let's get real. The shofar is outside. It's not inside. And therefore, which I'm perfectly comfortable with, means you don't wear gold clothes inside. Has nothing to do with what you do on the outside. And he says, as far as your linguistic thing, Rabbi Yossi has his answer, which is, the word Karen is a description of all shofarot. That's one approach to why the Rabbanan invalidate the par. In other words, giving a separate reason besides the Mishnah, which is the reason of En Kategor Nasa Senegor. Kategor literally is a prosecuting attorney, and a Senegor is a defense attorney. Abaya Mar, Hainu Tamayu Rabbanan. Abaya gives a different perspective. Shofar Mar Achmana Velo Shnayim Ushloshah Shofarot. The Torah said, V'avartem Shofar Trua. We'll see in the fourth parak how this becomes the source. Remember, the Torah never uses the word Shofar in the context of Yom Zikaron. It only uses it in the context of Yovel, which from there we apply it. But it says Shofar, and not two or three Shofarot. V'hada Parah Kevan Dekai Gildi Mitchazek Yishnayim Ushloshah Shofarot. The way that the horns of a cow look, it looks like several shofarot in one. The way that it's kind of stacked. So therefore, you can't use it because there's something inherently wrong with the way it's structured. But that's not what the Mishnah said. The Rabbanan said, why can't you use a shofar? Because it's got the wrong word. So the answer is, he used the same thing. There's two reasons. Chad shofar, chad shofarot. One reason is because the Torah said you have to blow a shofar, not multiple shofarot. The other reason is to carry it, and also because of the linguistic problem. Well, how's Rabbi Yossi going to answer this? How would Rabbi Yossi answer this if that was really their defense? Rabbi Yossi Amar lo chad gamar shofar achad amar achon avalo shtam shlosha shofarot. I don't care that it looks like separate ones. The fact is, they're all one. The whole thing is one unit. It is shofar achad. So give me a break. Come to Karen, call shofar dami iku Karen. All right, good. Now, we have a tangent, which is about language. And it starts with the word Yovel, which I mentioned to you a number of weeks ago, how we know that the word Yovel, that the word Yovel really means a ram. And then it ends up becoming a horn, and then it becomes a jubilation, etc., that whole mahalach. My master, Yovel Elisha de Dichron. How do I know that a Yovel means a ram, a male ram? Tanya, Rabbi Kivak, Shalachti la Arabia, Hayu Korin la Dichra Yovla. I went to an Arab country, and I heard them calling a ram a Yovel. The Amr Rabbi Kivak, Shalachti la Galia, Hayu Korin la Nida Galmuda. I saw that they called a Nida a Galmuda. What's a Galmuda? My Galmuda, Gmula Dami Ba'ala. She is separated from her husband. The Amr Rabbi Akiva, Gamada really means somebody who's alone. The Amr Rabbi Akiva, Shalachti la Afriki, are you calling the Ma'ak Sita? I went to evidently Egypt, and they would call a coin a Sita. Lamayna Afkumina, what does that help you? With Farushi Me'ak Sita Doraita. Remember when Yaakov bought, what later became Kever Yosef, he bought it for 100 Sita. So he said, this trip to Africa helped me understand a pasuk in the Torah. What is Me'ak Sita? Me'ak Danki, 100 coins. Amarabik Shalachtu the Karke Ayam, are you calling the Mechira Kira? I went to one of the islands in the Mediterranean and I saw that selling, they used the word Kira, in other words, they cut off the mem. Manav Kamina, Lafushe Asher Kariti Li. This is in this week's Parsha. The cave that I bought.
Which usually means to dig out.
Which normally didn't mean to dig out. So they're playing and saying, aha, it doesn't mean that. But rather, that I bought. Because indeed, Yaakov did not dig out, or in any way make any claim on the Maratha Machteva, except he has ownership on it. He, by the way, did not buy it or sell it either, right? But that's what he's referring to. This is when Yosef comes to Paro and says, I need permission to go bury my father up there. I'm a Rishlokish. Shalach l'tchum kan nishraya. You call me l'chala ninfi. I went to this place, and they would call a kala a ninfi. What's a ninfi? Well, the tanigol sechvi, and they would call a chicken a sechvi. L'chala ninfi, my cry, yifei nof from sos kolaris. That's in the Mizmor we say on Monday. Yifei nof. Something of a beautiful view, a beautiful panorama. Well, the tanigol sechvi, and Rabbi Yudam Ravi, vayitem, Rabbi Shuma Levi, my cry, mishai patuchot kochma, o minatan la sechvi lina. And now I know what it means. It means who gave understanding to the rooster that knows when dawn is. The bracha we say in the morning. Misha batuchot chokma. What's the first part of that pasuk in here? What does it mean? Elu klayot. That's your kidneys, which in classic times, kidneys were considered to be the seat of understanding. Omina tavasach minaz zetanigol. Good. Levi ikla luhu atra. Levi came to a certain place. We don't know where it was. Ata gavra lekame. A guy came to him. Amarle kavan planya. Right? He said, somebody was Koveoni. Lo haviyada, my kamalai. And Levi had no idea what this guy was saying. A guy walked up to Levi and said, Pony was Koveoni. After Shoyal Ben Midrash, he came to the base of Anderson, he said, some guy said this to me, what did he mean? Amarle gazlan amarlach. The guy was telling you that somebody else stole from him. Dichtim ha'ifa adam Elohim. The pasuk in Malachi, will a man steal from God? And yet you, Bnei Yisrael, are stealing from me by not giving Trumoth and Masroth, etc. Among the Rabbin Varnish to Ravashi, Yahweh Hatam, when he heard the story, he said, if I were there at the time, have your main away. This is Monday morning quarterback, right, what I should have said. Had I been there, this is what I would have said. Hechikvach, Maikvach, Maikvach. I would have used the same verb back and say, how was he Koveh you? When was he Koveh? What was he Koveh you? Right? Remela Haviyabina, and then from his answer, I would have figured out what he meant. In other words, somebody uses a verb that you don't understand, so you ask back using that same verb, and you'll figure out what they mean. Somebody snookered me. So how much did he snooker? What did he snooker? When? I said, we were walking down the street, and I wasn't looking, and he pulled my wallet out. So you understand what it means? The Yisavra Milton Yisura Kamar Levi. Rav Levi was no dummy. Levi understood he could have done that, but he said, I thought that the guy said, somebody did an Easter to me, something, some sort of a terrible thing. I didn't want to ask him further. It would be embarrassing, and it would be upsetting. So, Lavi Yad Ravon and my Steirugin. This is a very interesting thing, because these are words that are used in the Mishnah, and the students of Rebbe Yudan Asi did not know what they meant. In the Mishnah in Megillah, talks about reading the Megillah Seirugin. Say Yatsa. What is Seirugin? What does it mean? Shmo La'amta Devei Rebbe, they heard Rebbe's housekeeper. The Chazar Rabbanan Havu Ayli Peski Piski, she saw the Rabbanan walking into the house to learn, and they're walking in two at a time. Two and a nun, like that, staggered. Amralu Amatayatem Nichsin Seirugin Seirugin. His housekeeper was the Alex Rebbe. Right? She said, how long are you guys going to keep walking in Seirugin, Seirugin? So they understood what Seirugin was. It means you read a little bit of Megillah, then you take a break, you read a little more, take a break. Rabbi Yad Rabbanan Mai Chalug Lugot. This is mentioned in the context of Trefa. Yom HaChad Shmuel Amtad Adai Rebbe, the Chazid Ogava, the Kamavadza Papachine. She saw one of the students who was cutting some sort of vegetable. Amrale Admata Tamfazer Chalug Lugacha. How long are you going to keep leaving the shavings of this Chalug Lugot? So they understood what this was.
What
not in Trefa.
It mean?
It's actually some sort of a plant. They didn't know what it was. Right, they didn't know what it meant. It's mentioned in the context of a plant, right. Well, the other Rabbanan, my salsaleh utomeka. There's a pasuk in Mishlei, they didn't know what it meant, salsaleh. Yom achad shmuel amtad adai rebbe, dahavat amra lahu gavra d'avi kamahapet misare. She saw one of the students was combing his hair and spending a lot of time fussing with his hair. Amra le amatay atam salsal misarecha. How long are you going to be misalsal in your hair? Meaning that we now know what misalsal means. It's a comb and to, you know.
Well, it sounds like the Yosef
was misalsal. Where does it
say
that? Medrash. In the Medrash. Medrash is after this. How do they know what misalsal means? One time the word shows in the Tanakh. What?
Our etymology from.
That's right, because the Amta the Rebbe was learned from Rebbe, and Rebbe knew Hebrew like nobody. Rabbi Yadu Rabban and Maiva Tetetia Mamatate Ashmad. Rabban says a pasuk in Yeshayahu, I'm going to metatea with the metatea of destruction. What does that mean? Yomachat shmuel amta devei rebbe, dehavat amra lechaverta. They heard or overheard one housekeeper say to the other, shkulei tatati v'tatate beisa. Take the broom and sweep the house. They understood what it meant. V'havu yed rabban amai hashlecha adonai yahavcha v'yichal kolecha. Put your yahav on Hashem and he will take care of you. They didn't know what it meant. I was walking down the street and I was following a particular Arab. Have Darina Tuna. And I was carrying a very heavy load. The Amarish go Yahavich Vishad Yagamloy. And he turned to me and said, take down your load and put it on my camel. You can put it on my camel. Which means that Yahav is a load. And now I understand the Pasuk. Now, by the way, this all cuts to one important truth, which is the Semitic languages are all related. And that's why, earlier on in the story and at the very end, we're learning etymology from Arabs. I can show you several examples of Tanakh, words that we are not so clear on what they are, but if you look at the Arabic, the Semitic cognate as it appears in Arabic, it explains what the word is.
Can't one also say that these Gemaras advocate that secular information is necessary to enhance
if you needed such advocacy, sure.
Well, there are people who believe otherwise.
Well, people do lots of things. People who are convinced the world is flat also. I don't need to demonstrate that it's round. But I would just adjure that they should not sail too far. Shofar Shal Rosh Hashanah Shal Ya'el. The Shofar Rosh Hashanah, according to Tanakama, should be from an ibex. Pashut Ufi Mitzupah Zahav. Meaning straight, not bent, and with a gold plate. It can be gold plated. When they would blow it, we're going to find out later that this is only in the Mikdash. When they would blow it, they would have two chatzotzot flanking it, and one person in the middle of the shofar. Shofar mariach the chatzotzot mekatzrot. They all make the sound together, and the chatzotzot cut out, and the shofar continues for a bit. Shemitzvat hayom b'shofar. There's a rashon of the mitzvah of the shofar. You'll see why they're saying that, because uveta'aniyot, what do they blow on a ta'anit? B'shel zecharim, they use rams. Fufin, they're bent. Ufi and mitzupet get kesef. And the plating is silver. Ushtei chatzotrot ba'emtza. And the chatzotrot are in the middle, the shofarot on the outside. Shofar mekatzer v'chatzotrot ma'arichot. There it's the opposite. They all make the sound together, and the shofarot cut out, the chatzotrot continue. Shmitzvat hayom v'chatzotrot. The mitzvah of the day, of the sounding of the horn on the day of the Tanit, is the chatzotrot. But you have both the chatzotrot and the shofar, and you'll see why before we get up today. Shaveh Yovel Rosh Hashanah v'tkiyav v'librachot. The Tanna Kama says that Yovel of Yom Kippur is treated exactly like Rosh Hashanah of every year as far as tkiyah and as far as the brachot. Remember, when is the only time you say nine brachot in a Shmona Esrei? Musaf of Rosh Hashanah and Musaf of Yovel of Yom Kippur. Musaf of Yom Kippur on Yovel, which we haven't done in a long time, but it has the same structure as Rosh Hashanah. Vira disagrees with Tanakama, and he says on Rosh Hashanah, we actually use ram's horns. And on Yovel, we use the ibex. Right? In practice, by the way, we do ram's horns for both. So that's not neither, we'll see. I'm Rabbi Levi. Mitzvah shel Rosh Hashanah v'shel Yom HaKippurim v'chfufin, shel kol Hashanah v'pshutin. Rabbi Levi says the exact opposite of the way the Mishnah presents it, which is the mitzvah on Rosh Hashanah and on Yovel of Yom Kippur of Yovel is to have bent shofarot, curled shofarot, and ta'aniyot the rest of the year is to have straight. I but not Rosh Hashanah shall yel pashut. I our Mishnah says the opposite. So the Marti I Tana, he has another Tana. The Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer Rosh Hashanah you tokim v'shel zcharim kufinu yavol v'shel yelim. He quotes Rabbi Yehuda from the end of our Mishnah. So why doesn't he just say halacha Rabbi Yehuda? The Yemar halacha Rabbi Yehuda. I mean, afilu shel Yovel nami. Rabbi Yehuda spirale. I would think he also holds like Rabbi Yehuda for Yovel, and then it's an ibex. Kamash Malan that even for Yovel, he says it has to be a ram. But my kimi palgi. So we have three opinions now. We have Tanakama who says Rosh Hashanah and Yovel are always an ibex. We have Rabbi Yehuda who splits, and we have Levi Paskening like some other opinion, which says that they're always a ram, and they're always bent. So our Tana holds that a Rosh Hashanah, the more that you are bent over in your attitude and humble, that's better. But on Yom Kippur, on Yom Kippur, and you'll give it Yovel, the more that you are pashut, meaning simple and straight, the better it is. Masa Rosh Hashanah, come out of pashut, inishtate tfei mali. And the other one holds on, Rosh Hashanah, the more that you are simple and straight and unassuming, the better it is. With ta'aniyot, come out of chayif, inishtate tfei mali. But on a ta'anit, you really should be kafu. Now, so therefore, they have the different opinions, by the way, which tells you that the shape of the shofar is supposed to reflect the appropriate attitude for the day. All right? And we pass them, by the way, that you can use a curled one, which means that being kafuf on Rosh Hashanah is certainly a good thing. The Mishnah said that the plate was, that the thing was gold-plated at the mouthpiece. We have a Mishnah later on that says that if you plate the area where you put your mouth, the embouchure, then it's pasul. Our Mishnah is referring to plating it at a place where you don't put the mouth. And that would be plated. Now this brings up a very large problem. You have two chatzotrot flanking the... You have two chatzotrot flanking the shofarot. Utrei kol imi mishtame. Wait a second. What are you going to hear now? You're going to hear the sound of the shofar and the chatzotrot. Are you able to pluck out one sound from another? Vatanya zachor v'shamor v'dibur achad nemru masha ina pei yichola d'ver ina ozen yichola lishmoa. Famous midrash that at Har Sinai, one version of the third divot says zachor, the other says shamor, because it was, in stereo terms, right channel or left channel. But no person could speak that way, and no ear could hear it, which means you cannot hear simultaneous words and pluck them out. So, l'chach mariach shofar. Good. That's why the shofar has to go longer. They all make the sound together, and then you have to go longer so that you can end up hearing the shofar. But that means that if you're the tail end of a sound, you're good. L'meimra d'chishama sof tkia b'lo tkila tkia yatsa. L'meimra tkia b'lo sof tkia yatsa. So that means if you hear the tail end of a sound, yasa, which by the way would mean, by analogy, if you heard only the beginning of a sound, yasa, toshma, takab rishonam, ashach vashniyah, kishtoy, min biyadu alachat. If you do tzkiya, trua, tzkiya, and the tzkiya, trua, tzkiya, but the ones in the middle, you made all into one, it doesn't help. You're in the biyadu alachat. Amai, tisalik, way betarte. Why don't we consider those two sounds? So the answer is, psuke tzkiyasu miyadadi lo paskina. You can't break a tzkiya into half. One sound is one sound. That's a separate issue. V'toshma, ha-tokeo l'tocha bor, l'tocha dot, or l'tocha pitas, if you blow a shofar into a pit, in kol shofar shema yasa, in kol avarash shema lo yasa. This, by the way, is a makor for the whole issue of microphones. Not a shavish nyata, but about the problem of hearing a call through a microphone. And Moshe quotes this, to say it's invalid because you're not hearing the sound, you're hearing an echo of the sound. If you hear the echo of the shofar, lo yatsa. Amai, leipuk v'tchila tchia. But after all, the first sound you hear is not the echo. So why isn't that good enough? If you posit that hearing part of the sound is good enough. So mikam le'abriz kala. Alatarte kala mechad gavra lo mishtami. You're right. You're right. You must hear a full sound. You cannot hear a partial sound. Otherwise, these cases would be dealt with differently. Elo what? The rule of not hearing two sounds, not being able to distinguish them, is there from one person. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Zachor v'Shamor, you can't pluck those out. Mitrei gavri mishtami. But if two different people are making the sounds, you can pluck them out. You can distinguish them. Mitrei gavri mishtami, who says, V'atanya b'torah achad korei v'chad mitargem, v'ad shalo yushtayim korei mishtayim mitargemin. You can't have two balei kriya at the same time. Because what's going to happen? Everybody's going to hear the words, they can't hear either sound. Halodami Allah says, but Mahalo Megillah through the Asara Korin. Ah, but you know what? When it comes to Halal and Megillah, if you have a few people reading together, you'll say, why? Kevan the Chavi the Ayat Date, since it's something you love very much and it's not that common, you're going to pay attention, you're going to hear the individual sounds. In other words, somebody's laning, we're laning all the time, four times a week at least. So if two people are laning, you're not being able to distinguish one sound from the other because that's something you're not excited about. But if, let's say, somebody's leading Hallel and you have two people doing a duet, two people doing a duet laning in the Megillah, you can distinguish the voice of one from the other, even though they're reading the same thing, because it's something you're very excited about. Achanami came in the Chaviv, Yahizat, and Shema. Same thing here. Right? Same thing here with the Shofar. Shofar is very Chaviv. And therefore, even though you hear two sounds, you'll be able to distinguish the Shofar from the Chatzotzra, even though they're sounding at the same time. So, Lama Maricha Shofar. So, well, then why does the Shofar have to go longer? If the shofar, if you yotze the shofar while it's blowing with the chatzotzra, why does it have to go longer? It's there to inform you that the mitzvah of the day is the shofar, not because you're not yotze otherwise. Good. Let's finish this piece up. Taniyot b'shel tchayim kufin ufid mitzubek kesef. Ma'ashtan hatam dezah, ma'ashtan hachad kesef. Why are the, is the shofar of Rosh Hashanah plated with gold and of taniyot with kesef? Ibaitem makol kinyufi yirichesefu. So anytime you gather people together, we always use kesef. Dichtiv, asei lecha shtei chatzotzot kesef. The chatzotzot used in the midbar to gather people together were made out of silver. And the tanit, the whole point of it, the tanit is always in the context of bringing the whole community together and going from there. Vibayitem ha-Torah chasam amonan shel Yisrael. Torah doesn't want to overburden us financially. So hatam nami navi di kesef, so why not make Rosh Hashanah kesef and save a little more money? Filoachi kvod yom tov adiv. There you have the issue of kvod yom tov, you want to make it gold. You don't have that on the Tanit. Rav Mar Shmuel Savar Le'Miavad Uvda Kamat Nitin. He wanted to do exactly like our Mishnah, have gold plated. Rav Alamru El Mikdash. You know what this whole plated thing is? It's only in the Mikdash. And in Yachin Mezra Amuim the Mikdash. V'gvulim makom sheish chatzotzot, en shofar, makom sheish shofar, en chatzotzot. And by the way, what did Rav Papa Mar Shmuel want to do? And Rav Shani wanted to have two chatzotzot accompanying the shofar. And Rav said, no, there's only in the Mikdash that you have the multiple instruments. But outside of the Mikdash, if there's a chatzotzra, like on a fast day, there's no shofar, and vice versa. V'cheni migra v'chalafta v'tzipori. V'chanem v'tried them v'tzichni. V'shabad v'ray tzol chacham v'amru lo ayyuno agin ken elo v'shoyim yizrach v'har bayit v'vad. This is only in the Mikdash. Amaravi tem rav yishuv v'levi maikra. What's the pasuk that says in the Mikdash you have multiple instruments? V'chtiv v'chatzotzrot v'kol shofar hariyu. So chatzotzrot and shofar. V'fnei ha-melech Adonai. It's only in front of the king, meaning in the Mikdash. The last point in the Mishnah was, Shaveh Yuvala Rosh Hashanah L'Tkiyal D'Brachot. Shvom Yitzchak, K'man Matzlinin Ha'idna V'zeh Yom Tchidat Masechah Zikaron L'Yom Rishon. In Rosh Hashanah, we have a line that says, this is the beginning of creation. Kaman Kabbalah, that follows up Malazah. Remember in the first time, Kabbalah says the world was created in Tishrei. How can you say that 10 days later? This is the beginning of creation. Which means you cannot say that in Yovel, which means nobody can say that Yovel, Yom Kippur, is like Rosh Hashanah for the Brachot, because there's at least one line you can't say. You're right, that line we leave out, but everything else is the same. But they're trying to prove to me, by the way, is that we passed on Rabbi Yeshua, and that we never mention creation of Rosh Hashanah, because Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur of Yovel are the same. The answer is no. Yom Kippur of Yovel, we do everything except for that line, or those lines that commemorate the day of creation. Hayom Harat Olam, we wouldn't say. He says differently. He says that after all, Rabbi Eliezer would never agree that Yom Kippur of Yovel is like Rosh Hashanah. Because after all, according to Rabbi Elazar, we cannot say that line on Yovel, Yom Kippur, and therefore they can't be the same. The answer is, yes, Rabbi Elazar could be the author of our Mishnah, and he could mean you say everything like Rosh Hashanah, you say it on Yom Kippur, Yovel, and that one line you leave out of any other commemoration of this is the day of creation.